What's up? Back again for another episode of the Wonderlust Hour. And today, got a real special guest coming in live and direct via Skype all the way from London. Give it up for Ibrahim, aka Eves.
Hey, how's it going?
And it's going pretty well. How you been?
Been very well indeed, thank you. Yeah, been getting on with things. How about yourself?
Yeah, I've been doing all right. Just working, and that's been pretty much it.
Just working. Yeah, thanks. Thanks for inviting me on the show.
Yeah, man, I'm glad you came on. Good to see you got your internet sorted.
Yeah. Always happens when you move house, trying to figure out what the hell's going on with the internet. But finally got it sorted.
Nice. So, I guess a little backstory. I met this guy in 2011 in all places at a hostel in Rio. And I think the first memory I have of this guy is we were trying to go out to like a bar or a club or something. And the owner sent us to this like really quiet, small neighborhood bar, and we were buying just huge amounts of beer. Like we were shocked at how much it cost. And it was pretty quiet. We were like, "This is cool, but it's a little boring." So we went back to the hostel, and we spoke with the wife. And she directed us in the direction of probably the most amazing party I've ever been to.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was like a samba school, right? Or something like that. It was a huge, like, built, it was like samba school or something.
It was like a warehouse.
Yeah.
Insane. I mean, we turned up and it was me, you, and another guy, and we were like, where have these people been all my life?
Yeah, it was like a wall of just like 200 beautiful women all waiting to get into this place. So, yeah, that actually turned out to be a pretty awesome night.
Yeah, it was.
We had our
It was that other night, wasn't it, where I swapped t-shirts?
Yeah, in Ipanema. Yeah. We spent like half an hour trying to find you a shirt so we could get into this club. And we ended up not even going in there because they wanted to charge us like, it was 100 pay ice?
Yeah, something like that. Then I swapped it with the taxi driver.
Yeah.
The fat dude.
Yeah.
And I paid him to swap my t-shirt for something that looked horrendous. It was my favorite t-shirt as well. It was like one of those wife beaters, you know, show off your arms. It was great. Just couldn't believe I lost it for a non-entry into this bar.
Yeah.
Which, funnily enough, that particular bar, I think it was about a month after you left, me and a few other guys came back to Rio after the carnival that we went to, and we went into that club or bar or wherever it is, and so you have to give your credit card details. It's one of those bars where you don't know what the prices are, and we started buying like double Jack Daniels and Coke, round, so there's like five or six of us.
Oh, crap.
I think I must have had like about eight of those drinks.
Uh-huh.
But they were doubles. So, yeah, it turned out they wouldn't let me leave unless I paid, like, I think it was something like 250 rays to get out. So that's like the rule. But the thing is, it's really frustrating because I didn't know what the prices were. You know when you kind of get into a phase where you meet people and you apply them with drinks to see whether that works first?
Uh-huh.
Obviously that didn't. Then I just let my dancing shoes do the talking. But then again, that didn't really help because I drunk too much. So, another friend of mine who was with me ended up spending, what was it, 400 reais in there? Just not realizing how expensive these drinks were. So, pretty expensive night. But, it's fun.
Yeah, I don't even remember where that place is, but I'm definitely going to make sure I put that on my list not to go there. Unless I have a nice stack.
I think it was opposite a hostel that I was staying in. Pretty cool hostel as well. Just can't remember the name of it. But Rio was a cool place. A lot of time for Rio. I actually went to the carnival in Ouro Preto in the end, which I highly recommend for the students. I think it's like 7 universities. There's opportunities to stay in halls during the carnival. You can imagine how messy that can get.
Yeah,
so anybody out there,
some debauchery,
for carnival, they want to try. If this is where all the locals go to, by the way. So head out there, try and get yourself some halls. you won't forget it.
Yeah, so you were there for like a week, right?
Or I was there for a couple of days. Carnival party for a week.
Uh-huh.
Then I went out to Ouro Preto carnival, and then I came back to Rio for the post carnival party. I think I was there for about 3 weeks in total.
Okay.
Maybe a little too long. I just remember staying out the early hours and not figuring out where the hell I was half the time. But I think you gotta kind of expect that kind of thing in Rio. I heard about a lot of some of the stories in Rio, which is quite funny. One of them. Well, I don't know whether you can call it funny or not. There was this Australian girl. She apparently was wearing a very short shirt in a blocko party, and she ended up getting digitally fingered.
Wow. Okay. Blocko at a blocko.
But not in a normal way.
What is the non-normal way to digitally finger somebody? I thought there was only one way.
It's at the bum, basically.
Oh!
And the reason that I can tell you this is because she was the one who told me that when this happened to her. And it was a person that I'd met in Buenos Aires maybe a month later. Absolutely nuts. Well, pardon the pun there. There's some crazy stuff that happens in those real carnivals, but lots of fun.
Wow, I don't think you told me about the digital anal rapage. She didn't like stop the guy or whatever that was.
It kind of happened so quickly, and obviously you can imagine, the blocko parties, there's just tons of people there. You know, you can do it, and like, these guys must have been good, man. I mean, to do it so quickly and then run off, they must have been professional.
Well, there was that one guy. Remember, we went to the Blocko. I think that was like that might have been my last day. We went out there, and there was that random Brazilian guy that was trying to talk to us, but he spoke no English, and he was trying to show us how to get girls.
Yes, and you know, that's exactly how it happened. It's ridiculous. I was in Ouro Preto, and basically, I met these guys from Belo Horizonte, and I said to them, look, how do I call these girls? You know, how do I make out with them? And they were like, watch this. And they said, right, they literally went up to one girl after the next, pulled her by the arm, and then by the back of the head, didn't even say hi, and then just stuck a finger, too many fingers, sorry, and then tongue. So yeah, it was just, and it's made out, and then the next thing I know, I was with another friend, and a friend from home, and me and him had a game going on, like how many girls can make out with, and obviously I had no idea what I was doing, he had no idea what he was doing, and then you've got these guys, Ben Lahorizon, pulling one girl after the next over to us and say, right, kiss him now, like literally ordering me, it's just insane. I've never seen anything like it, you know. But yeah.
Actually. Sorry. Just seeing how many spots I have.
Okay, so yeah, back to what were we talking about?
The beauties of spending time at carnival.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, so yeah, I had a similar story. Was actually out with a guy in I think we were in Lapa, or we might have been downtown. But we were waiting on a friend to come so we could go to like the parade, because we had tickets. And so me and him were walking around, we're just talking, and he decides to go get like some shots of cachaça. So we down a couple shots. By that time, I'm pretty much drunk because I've been drinking since like 7 o'clock that morning, and it's like 8 o'clock that night.
Standard.
Yeah, and he starts randomly talking to some girls that, like, for some reason I paid no attention to. But he's talking to them in Portuguese, and I heard him say that I was American, and one girl gave me this funny look like, yeah, right, he's not American. So, like, she starts talking to me in Portuguese, and I have no idea what she's saying. She's speaking super fast. And so I'm just like, I do the shoulder shrug, like, I have no idea what you're saying. So she goes back to talking to him. I'm kind of, like, in my own world, because I'm pretty much almost about ready to pass out because I'm so drunk or whatever. And the next thing I know, dude is like, Mike, kiss her. And so, like, I, like, turned. I looked at him. I was like, for, like, a second, I looked at him. Huh?
Did you ask whether she was legal?
I didn't ask a single question. I just looked at him and then turned to her and started making out with her right there in the middle of the street. So I'm making out with her. And then, you know, we finish whatever. And he goes back to talking to her again. And I'm thinking we're getting ready to leave, you know, mission accomplished, you know, it's on to the next thing. And then he's like, Mike, kiss her again. And I'm like, okay, you know, make out with her again. And this time I try to get her phone number. So I'm like, I'm struggling. I'm like trying to figure out the Brazilian numbers, the Portuguese numbers to the English numbers, and trying to put it in my phone. And I'm like, I bring him over. I'm like, yo, put this girl's number in your phone. And I think I succeeded. But the next morning when I wake up, and I'm like, let me see if I can call this girl or whatever. I can't find a number. I don't know if I just put it in there and then hit delete or what. But, yeah, I never saved the number. So I was like, shit. Oh, well.
Oh, man. These things happen.
Yeah. You know?
Something similar happened to me in Colombia. I was in a place called Medellin. Have you heard of that area?
Yeah, that's where Escobar and all his folk were headquartered.
Yeah, this place is like a town. It's like wall to wall plunge. It's insane. Plunge meaning women, by the way. Okay. Anybody else listening? It's more like a British term. But yeah, basically, girls are like, I think there's a ratio of something like 4 or 5 to 1, and 80% of the women pretty much had cover girl looks. It was just, I've never seen anything like it in the world. And, you know, you just go to your standard bar, you know, like similar to a jive bar, you know, in America, and you'll get like random locals just turn up and they're absolutely stunning, and they're there like eating a burger and stuff like that, and you're like, oh my god, what the hell is going on here? And you know, went out to a couple of places very similar, chatting to some locals, and then obviously then drinking with them, and then very similar, you know. I think I went out for a cigarette with one of the guys, and then the guy started chatting to this random girl, and then she assumed I was local, and I wasn't, and she wouldn't believe me. I spoke a little bit of broken Spanish over there, and tried to explain to her where I was from, and then she literally just kind of, how to say it, she just kind of literally stopped me from talking and just grabbed me, and then next thing I know, I'm making out with her. I don't even know this girl's name. And then I try to get a number, very similar. Next day, I couldn't remember what number I typed in and how I did it. But at that time, actually, she got my number as well. So luckily, she actually called me later on that day. And I'm like, who the hell are you? I don't remember taking anybody's number down. she wanted to meet up. Because I couldn't speak hardly any Spanish with her, I kind of chickened out a little, to be honest. Maybe that was my mistake, I don't know. But she was stunning. And I actually got, because I was meeting a friend in Medellin as well, I actually got her to Texas girl to meet us at a certain time and place. But eventually she couldn't come down. But I think this person I was meeting in Medellin wanted something with me as well, so she was a bit funny about that. But I see the kind of situations you're mentioning, you know, it happened a lot in South America, amongst other things. How long were you there for in the end, in Brazil?
11 days.
11 days, was that too long?
too short, man, too short. I did not want to go to the airport.
I suppose in hindsight, maybe I should have spent a little bit more time in and around Brazil, because I had to see all the other countries in South America. But you know, these things happen. Did I tell you some of the other stories that happened in South America?
I remember you telling me about the girl in, was she in Ecuador?
Yeah. Looked a bit like J-Lo.
Yeah. You showed me like a picture of her.
Yeah, it's pretty hot. See the lake. Anyways, no story. I went back to see her because, you know, when you're in that mood, when you're traveling, you come back and you're still in the traveling zone. You're like, you know, take each day as it comes. You never know what's going to happen next, all this stuff. Technically, I shouldn't have gone because I should have thought, right, that's it. I've got to get myself a job again and, you know, start paying the bills off. But what I actually ended up doing was borrowing more money from my brother, that fly out for a week to see this girl. God knows why I did it.
This is Cynthia, right?
That was it. Yeah, yeah. And you know, because I thought, well, you're a pretty girl. I'm single. Got nothing to lose. You know, you don't want to live life with any regrets. So I just went out there for a week, and you know, actually met quite a few other girls and people. A few numbers, but obviously I didn't have time to do any of those. And again, I definitely recommend Hooters in Guayaquil. Pretty cool guys there as well. So ended up playing and hunting with a few of the people I met there. Yeah, so I went back. Maybe in hindsight I shouldn't have, but I just thought, what the hell, you know?
Yeah, that girl I think is gorgeous.
It was another story. Sorry, say that again?
So that girl is gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah. And she had a sister as well. I think they were both models. But yeah, couldn't complain really. Apparently, her dad was a bit of a militant. I never actually met him in the end. But he used to be a famous goalkeeper for their famous Ecuadorian team. I think they're called FC Barcelona as well. And her two brothers play for their youth teams. So there's a big kind of football following in that family. Yeah, the dad, luckily I never met, otherwise he would have lost the ball, I think. We realized I was only there for one reason. must have turned out to be one of the most expensive chases I've ever done.
Yeah, it sounds like it, man. So how much is that flight from London to Guayaquil?
London? Oh, that's probably about £600. £600-700. I was there for, 10 days? Let's say another £500-600 spending money while out there. So about £1,500, which is something like, what, over $2,000?
Yeah, about $2,300.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I just did the conversion.
Yeah, yeah. Gotcha. But yeah, no, so I did that. And but did I tell you any of the stories from Argentina?
No, I don't think you told me.
The one about the transvestites?
No, I didn't hear about this story.
Well, it's I think it's to cut a long story short, I got mugged by a couple of trannies.
Say what?
But I got mugged by a couple of trannies on a night out in, what day was it? Some posh area of town in Buenos Aires. And don't ask me how it happened. I honestly don't know. I was outside after a night out in the club waiting to go home with a friend of mine. And so we were about to kind of leave. And these two girls, actually, you know, you couldn't have told if they were trannies or not. You couldn't tell whether it's male or female. Obviously, given it's dark, we were absolutely wasted already. You know, so these two girls kind of run over, and one of them grabs my hands and pulls her top down, puts her hands on her boots, and I'm there thinking, what the hell's going on here? And this is like happening really quickly, and you know, me, typical guy, thinking, ooh, this is kind of nice. But then, you know, after a while, I'm thinking, hang on, these don't feel real. What's going on? And then the next thing I know is her other mate had her hands in my pocket and throwing everything on the floor. So my first point of call was to make sure I get my cards about sports because they were like the Bible.
Yeah. Me,
especially during traveling. So I got my cards. Everything else was taken. You know, that included my. So.
Your what?
They took my mobile.
Okay.
So as they were running down the road, I was like, I turned to my friend and I said, God, do I just laugh at that? That's just happened to me, or do I run after them? You know, because they probably got like a little gang around the corner.
Yeah.
A gang of high heeled ninjas that can probably pack a punch. Because they're always like little gangs, aren't they? So I kind of left it as it is. But then a couple of days later, I got mugged again in Recoleta, which is like a tourist area of Buenos Aires, and that was I think it was in an ice cream parlor of all places. So they nicked my bag. That was a professional hit. I was actually quite impressed with the way they did that, to be honest. You know, apparently, according to the police, they were following us for a few blocks, so quite a while, and they had a big guy that grabbed my attention, and they had this little kid, this little shit, that came around and nabbed the bag while I was laughing at a joke this guy had said, and then both of them run out, and there's a car waiting outside, and they just drive off.
Wow.
I'm like, what the hell just happened? It was so quick in both situations. So it's kind of, that kind of ruined my experience of Argentina in general. But then that soon all changed when I got to Venezuela. Venezuela is amazing. I mean, if any guy's looking for a good time with women, you have to go to Venezuela. It's a little bit dangerous, but, you know, if you consider most of the recent Miss World competitions that have been won by people from Venezuela, you can imagine, you know, how much fun you can have there.
And which part of Venezuela did you go to?
What's that, sorry?
Which part of Venezuela did you go to?
I spent a whole month in an island called Margarita, which is amazing for windsurfing and kitesurfing. So I was learning kitesurfing over there. But it's definitely a place that I highly recommend. So, kind of nuts, really. But the whole experience is obviously pretty cool. You know, I met you and met a number of other people. And obviously, you know, it was great to come back and see you when I came to the US.
Yeah, back in August.
Last year. Yeah. Kind of, I don't know, a bit random, you know, how it all kind of worked out. I had two weddings, one in, what was it? A few hours away from Chicago, and then the other one was in Canada, in Toronto. So I went from New York to Chicago, the other wedding, and then up back to Chicago, and then up to Toronto. So it was a nice little trip. Good to see you, and see you getting absolutely hammered.
Yes, I got wasted off the. I don't know what those drinks were you gave me.
It was in Chelsea. Was it?
Yeah.
I think that blue stuff kind of picked you over the edge.
Yeah, it did. It definitely did.
But it was a cool few days. You know, it's nice to kind of tell people the fact that I was staying in the Bronx, of all places. But you know, Julie was very accommodating, and obviously yourself as well. And yeah, it's been kind of nuts. Since then, obviously, since I've come back and sorted myself out, met a lovely lady, and she has a little one named Maya. And good news to tell you was that Lade just tested positive this morning, so she's pregnant now.
Oh, congratulations, man.
Yeah, literally just this week, like yesterday. So, I mean, who would have thought? Me, your dad, right? So I'm like, literally last couple of days I've been chain smoking like a motherfucker. I'm like, oh shit. Yeah. What am I gonna do? But at the same time, I'm like kind of excited. But you know, that's like a whole different situation, you know, like you know, I still haven't told my parents about her.
That's so, gonna be rough.
So I mean, just to give you like an idea, you know, give a backdrop to anybody else that's listening. So I'm Muslim, not exactly the best Muslim in the world. I do drink, I do smoke. But you know, I lead a good life and that's all that matters to me. Now I've got a pretty strict mum, dad who's quite chilled out, but obviously still follows the religion. They both want me to marry a Muslim girl. I'm not inclined that way. I have looked for Muslim women, but they've all been pretty weird, so it just seemed by accident that I came across Lay. She's Vietnamese. So, I've also got to add the fact that I'm quite racist towards Orientals. So, we've had to kind of keep it hush-hush from my parents. And I've also had the religious ceremony, so we're unofficially married. We haven't had the legal ceremony,
because
that's where you come in. Because didn't you get yourself ordained? Isn't that like some drunken agreement that we had?
Yeah, I got the little internet certification thing.
Yeah, yeah. So we haven't done that whole registrar ceremony and the church ceremony. So at some point we'll have to fly you over, so you can be the old drunken registrar that gives us away. He's pretty funny.
So when did you?
When
did you have the ceremony?
We had it about a month and a half ago. But the main reason we did that so quickly was because I found out that if you have a child with the person out of wedlock, then I can't marry her because she's not Muslim. I can marry her if she doesn't have a child yet, or if we're not, you know, a proper item, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So I'm in this kind of strange situation now where I haven't told my parents about the first ceremony, but now I've got to tell them also about the fact that she has another child with somebody else and she's pregnant with my child. Crazy, yeah? So how times change.
When do you plan on having this monumental talk?
Well, I'm going home this weekend, coming. I'm going to tell my mum about the whole, you know, well, not about the baby, but about everything else. And then kind of take it by ear from there. And see how it works out. She'll probably kick me out of the house. I don't know. Maybe that's what would you advise in that situation? Would you tell her everything, or would you kind of hold the baby back?
Might as well just put it all out there, because I'm pretty sure she'd be able to figure out, be able to calculate when this kid was conceived and all that. So she probably know that you knew and you just didn't tell her. So you might as well just go ahead and put it all out there.
Couldn't I just argue the fact that I was ignorant and she didn't tell me? And then I thought she was fat for quite a while, and I was just too polite not to say anything.
that might work, but... Yeah.
We'll have to wait and see, I suppose. But no, it's exciting. It's, you know, things have completely changed, and I'm still working on my trading stuff, which I spoke to you about when I was in New York. things have certainly developed over there as well. You know, I've heard of a guy named Timothy Sykes. That's S-Y-K-E-S, if anyone's listening. The guy is a genius, but also he can come across as a bit of a douche when you actually do watch some of his clips. But if you've ever heard of penny stocks, which is stocks which are less than $5, he's like an expert in trading those type of stocks.
Uh-huh.
And one of his students started off with like $10,000. I think it was the start of 2012. He's now up to 600,000.
Wow.
In 18 months. Primarily because I think it was, and I was watching this live at work while it was happening. One stock made 250,000 in one day, and it's one of the, you know, one of the legendary trades that I will have seen live. It kind of spurs you on, you know. I want to get to that stage
where I can kind of do this. $250,000 in a day.
Yeah, made 250 grand in one day. Nuts. So hopefully at some point I'll get to that level. That'd be nice. And I can kind of leave my job and just work, you know, an hour, 2 hours a day and twice as much money.
Yeah.
I plan the American dream, right?
Be a stay-at-home dad and trade stocks.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the great thing about trading is just the fact that all you need is a laptop and an internet connection. So you can do that from anywhere in the world. And, you know, my plan was to kind of have a nice holiday home somewhere, you know, in I don't know, like Seychelles or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then have somewhere, obviously, over here. And then maybe one in America. So in essence, you know, I can always be somewhere hot at any point in time during the year.
Right.
And I'll basically have the proper definition of an all-year-round plan. So that's my plan, really. Hopefully that's going to happen in the next 2 or 3 years. So, yeah, a lot of things have changed since... you know, since we first met.
Yeah, and you just recently turned 30, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, actually, no, 31.
31.
30. Yeah, 31. Yeah, so, is it 31? God, I don't know my age sometimes. Hold on. Wait, 18. Yeah, 31. 31. It's crazy. I don't, you know, sometimes I even forget my own birthday. I did a skydive for my birthday last year, which was one of the most craziest things I've ever done. Highly recommended. I don't suppose have you done a skydive before?
No, I haven't.
Definitely do one. It's crazy. I loved it. Loved it. I thought I was going to shit my pants at one point, but... yeah, no, it was fine in the end.
So basically, don't eat before I jump.
Yeah, exactly. Don't eat a Big Mac. Yeah.
Yeah.
How's things with you, anyways? I mean, what have you been up to though? How's work and stuff like that?
Work has been pretty much the same. Actually, I'm getting pretty tired of my job. You know, I'm ready to leave. Probably going to Brazil in August.
No carnival there, though.
no carnival, but, you know, it's Brazil, and, you know, it's always warm. So
how's your Portuguese now?
It still sucks. I haven't been practicing.
So sign language, right?
Yeah.
At the bar.
Yeah, that's all you need.
It's all you need, yeah. Your dancing feet.
Yeah.
They do the...
But yeah, I just got into podcasting. probably gonna start doing some photography pretty soon.
Oh, nice.
So, nice. Just been trying to look into like different stuff outside of work, because you know, work is just, it's just 8 hours and I'm of mindless repetitive stuff, and then I come home and try to do just some different stuff, find some different outlets.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. I think, you know, that's what people certainly need to understand is, and actually Americans probably understand it more than most, is, you know, the different avenues of income and opportunities apart from, you know, an 8 hour job a day.
Yeah.
You know, you don't necessarily see that in the UK. You know, people are a little bit blind, you know, and they want to try and get up the promotion curve. The thing is, actually, you can probably do a lot better if you actually applied yourself in a number of other different streams away from the whole corporate life or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Like, well, you yourself, know, you're mentioning, you know, photography. You know, I mean, give you an example. One of my ex-housemates, his girlfriend, his girlfriend wanted to be an actress. She was trying to get into all the acting schools. But then my ex-housemate was pretty good at taking pictures. Mm-hmm. So he was really good in photography. And then he showed her a few tricks that he had and techniques. And now he's working in microfinance, which is a pretty cool thing. But somehow Holly, which is his girlfriend, sent some pictures to this charity which affiliates with, you know, with this microfinance organization. And she ended up being their official photographer for the last 18 months, traveling all over the world, you know, like, you know, going to all these rainforests, going to Asia, Brazil, for example, you know, staying in, it's a pretty rundown place, but it's all about like trying to promote the charity, and she's amazing, you know. So it's just like keeping an open mind, I suppose, in terms of what's really out there, and, you know, and striving for it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, for a while, a lot of people still are on that whole promotion track, but I guess with the job that I have there, I see that there's no room for like real growth in the company. You pretty much just stay in the same position that you're in. You might get lucky and get like a middle management job, but it's pretty hard. I wouldn't even say it's competitive, it's just it's just the opportunity's not there. So
yeah,
I gotta figure out another way to make money. And enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, I've been, you know, sitting at my job for the last year and a half, 2 years, and I've been thinking to myself, there's got to be more to life than just sitting here doing this crap day in, day out, reporting to complete idiots, you know, who don't know anything, you know. They're just there to make sure everything's covered and managed, but they don't know shit. But they love it. They love, you know, managing people and sometimes, to a certain extent, disrespecting them. And, you know, you don't need that. So I think a lot of people need to open their eyes and just, you know, have a look at what they really want to do in life and what really makes them happy and strive for it. So it's pretty good the fact that you're starting to do all of that stuff, you know.
Yeah, yeah. But your job is pretty interesting, like with how it like was created, because you pretty much got your job from somebody's, I guess you can't really call it a fuck up, but they're just
I was
well, it was like intentional. It was like he knew what he was doing and he just got caught.
Yeah, so basically I have a job at UBS, and you know, it was in the news in 2012, I believe. Was it 11? Maybe 12. No,
2011.
I think it was. And so this one trader was trying to obviously maximize his bonuses at the end of the year. So the way it kind of works is this trader would go would buy a particular stock or index, and then he would buy an offset. So his stocks go up, this other thing goes down, and so he's kind of covered if the market goes in the wrong direction that he thinks. So he's always kind of balanced on both sides, whether the market goes up or down. But what he was doing was he was replicating, effectively making us think he had bought the other side. If that makes sense? Uh-huh. The offsetting position.
Okay.
So when the market didn't go in his direction, it went against him, he had nothing to cover him on the other side. So he lost, obviously, billions for the bank. And we've had to kind of restructure, bring in a new team to look at that aspect to make sure that doesn't happen again. And that's where my team was created. So that's how I got a job. You know, so it's been interesting. It's pretty stressful. It's a lot of egos, a lot of personalities and characters that you have to manage, which from my position, you know, from my point of view, don't really need that. But it does pay the bills, so I can't really complain.
Yeah. Yeah, you live in like one of the most expensive cities.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm surprised how expensive it is to live in New York. You know, one of those dingiest hotels I stayed in the last night in New York before I flew back to the UK. I mean, it was, what, $130 for a night? It was absolutely horrendous.
Which borough were you in?
What's that, sorry?
Which borough of New York did you stay in?
Oh, God. Let me think. It was really close to... Let me think. I couldn't remember off the top of my head. It's been quite a while. But I'll have to chat you that offline once I remember which one it is. It was really bad, though. The main reason I picked that one was because it was close, really close to the station that I needed to get onto to get out of the court.
Okay.
It's kind of crazy stuff. Then it was the other stuff you had on your little list that we need to chat about.
I think right now we're kind of just freestyling it. Yeah, but wow. Greece. This wedding.
Oh, the wedding.
Yeah.
The wedding.
Yeah, we haven't really talked about the details of the planned wedding and ceremony, me being drunk and officiating.
Yeah, I've got to get around the parents, so I'm not sure how it's going to work out, but we're still thinking, you know, we do want to kind of do it in Greece, just because it'll be cheaper. But second of all, it'd be a good opportunity for somebody, you know, a number of people to come out for a holiday. So we were thinking maybe some midget tossing for... I think that can be arranged. But actually, putting that on the side, what we were thinking was we'll have a stag do and a hen do on separate islands.
Uh-huh.
And we'll all come back onto the main island to just have a nice kind of ceremony where you'll probably be tried with alcohol before you go away. We were thinking of maybe having a little dance as an entrance into the little ceremony bit. So everybody has to dance, like include yourself.
Uh-huh.
I think I saw like a YouTube clip that somebody did online, which was to a Chris Brown song.
Yeah. But, yeah, they have like a whole series.
Yeah. And they had one where they had a divorce as well.
Yeah.
The same couple, which was pretty cool. So I might try and do something similar. But
probably going to have to outdo that one. I don't know how I'm going to do that. Maybe some sort of, I don't know, stressing. I don't know. It's going to be interesting, though. So it should be pretty fun little thing to do. And then we'll head off to Santorini, which is a nice romantic island in Greece, where I'll get a tan, which is nice, and hopefully I won't peel again. I always seem to peel on holiday.
Man, too much sun. You got to get you some sunscreen, man.
Yeah. I think there was that lady in, I think it was a news report that I saw recently, and it was this mum. She's like super tan mum or something like that. I don't know whether it was American or English, but
I think she's American.
And she's like so dark, like to the extent that she just looks really, really, really orange brown compared to her daughter, who's just like normal. And she's a white lady.
Yeah, yeah, I've seen it. Looks like a.
I cannot understand why you do that.
Man, some people just get obsessed with the whole like tanning culture thing. Like they'll have like memberships to like tanning beds, or they'll buy like they buy like tanning packages where they get like a certain amount of hours per year. And you know, and I think the longest session is like 20 minutes. So people get like, I don't know, maybe like 50 hours, and it lasts them the whole year, and they just tan like every day. Just so they can.
I mean, it must be so hot in the area anyway, right? So you just have a natural tan as you go, right?
I guess not in the like the fall and the winter, because it's pretty mild, and in the winter it can get kind of cold here.
But then you'd look like an idiot if you're walking around with a tan, and you know, I can just imagine it. You know, it. Like really cold, or it's raining, or something like that, right? And you're wearing like a big jacket, and then you got a bright orange face, and it just doesn't quite work together.
Yeah, I've never understood it, especially like the fake tans, because they always come out looking orange instead of like a brown or golden brown or whatever. They kind of look like Oompa Loompas.
Yeah, it definitely comes out orange rather than brown. I don't have any idea what people kind of use that kind of thing, but that's their choice, you know. They want to catch cancer by going on the sunbeds. That's their choice, you know.
Yeah.
It's all free will at the end of the day.
Or it's supposed to be.
But they're idiots at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Right. I'm actually gonna have to make a move pretty soon.
Yeah, well, we've been recording for I guess almost an hour, so it's pretty good. I think I just had to edit out the little internet snafu we had earlier. But yeah, we can go ahead and wrap this up.
Yeah, no, sorry about that. Yeah, just got a few things to do over here. Got a few trading videos to watch. Actually got to clean up the house before Leia has another go at me.
Go.
Come in the bug. So, yeah, got a sweet talker. but biggest news so far is a little one on the way. Hopefully a little boy, because I certainly don't want a girl. Well, actually, no, that's a lie. Ideally, I don't want a girl, because I don't want to have to her potential boyfriend as she gets older.
Right.
They go turn out of a jealous dad, I reckon. I'd rather want a kid that I can take to the football games and stuff like that.
Right.
That's what I'm secretly hoping for. But I'll definitely keep you posted.
All right, man. Yeah, sounds good. And congratulations once again.
Thanks very much, man. Really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, no, thanks for coming on the show, man.
Yeah, no problem. We did just kind of have a nice kind of catch-up conversation. I don't know whether that was appropriate for, you know, your show, but...
No, man, it's perfect. I'm pretty sure there's going to be a lot of people that want to hear about your your exploits in South America.
Yeah, there's probably some other stuff that I could have mentioned, but I don't know whether I should mention it because it's not exactly legal. But maybe that's a conversation for another time.
Yeah, we definitely gonna have to do this again sometime.
Yeah, cool. Sounds good.
All right, man.
Thanks very much.
All right, you take it easy.
All right, take care, yeah?
Later.
All right, bye. Bye.
So, yeah, that was Ibrahim, and, yeah, man, we had a great conversation. Just want to say, shout-outs to, Two Brothers, Two Mics, Casino and LB, The Ink Crew, John, Toya, and Rivers, and, yeah, you can hit me up at Twitter on, at WonderlessMikey. You can also send emails to the show at wonderlesshour@gmail.com. And, yeah, that's, I think that's it. Holler at you good folks later. And, peace.
Who's probably gonna sin again? Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. Things I don't understand. Sometimes I need to be alone. Bitch, don't kill my vibe. Bitch, don't kill my vibe. I can feel your energy from two planets away. I got my drink, I got my music. I will share it, but today I'm winning. Bitch, don't kill my vibe. 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 Look inside of my soul and you can find gold and maybe get rich. Look inside of your soul and you can find out it never exists. I can feel the changes. I can feel a new life. I always knew life can be dangerous. I can say that I like a challenge and you to me.